little bit this morning concerning the hardness of man's heart and the troubles that will befall us if we're not careful. It's kind of a thin line, thin trail that we walk here in this life. And if we're not careful, we'll sometimes turn to the right or left, and we should not. The scriptures here is given for our admonition and our guidance. And there's something that we should make an effort to search and see what they have to say for us. Now, I want to read here out of Hebrews first, in the 3rd chapter, in the 8th verse, it says, "Harden not your hearts as in the provocations in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that come out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swore he they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not?" So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. These miracles that the Lord performed for the people through Moses were for their benefits, for their welfares. If we're not careful, we allow disbelief to enter into our hearts, and our hearts become hardened. And when they become hardened, then we not hear the words of the scriptures that we read. We not understand them. And our minds will begin to gradually to become darkened. The children of Israel there, while they was going through the wilderness, they provoked the Lord, and he set fiery serpents, snakes, in upon them, and they begin to bite the people, and there began to be a large number of people dying from the bite of this fiery snake. He had Moses take a staff and put upon it an emblem of a snake. And they were told that because of their disbelief, that a way was provided for them to be saved if they were bitten. And that was to look upon this here servant that Moses had, and they would be saved, but many would not look upon it to be saved even after they were bit. And that was because of the hardness of their hearts, that they would not look. We have, as I said, the scriptures here for our admonition and guidance, but if we don't search the scriptures, we lose sight of some of the things that we should. And we forget, if we have searched them and don't search them, then those things which were bright in our mind at one time become dulled over the ages. So we should make an effort from time to time to continue to search the scriptures. We're here in this day and age. We're no different than the people in times gone by, such as the house of Israel. They had the prophets among them. They had the guidance from the Lord from time to time. The Jaredites had them, and the Nephites. They're just like us. The gospel was there with them, but they also had their free agency, and so that they could accept or reject. And seems like when people are prosperous and blessed of the Lord, they soon forget to call upon the Lord and search the scriptures, such as the brother Jared did. He was chastened because of it, and he didn't call upon the Lord for about the space of 4 years. The Lord told him that if we do harden our hearts and not call upon him, then he will withdraw his spirit from us, and that it'll have no part with us. So in Nephi here in the book of Helaman, on page 584, verse 53, I would read here, "Oh, how foolish, and how vain, and how evil, and devilish, and how quick to do iniquity, and how slow to do good, are the children of men. Yea, how quick to hearken unto the words of the evil one, and to set their hearts upon the vain things of the world. Yea, how quick to be lifted up in pride. Yea, how quick to boast, and to do all manner of that which is iniquity. And how slow are they to remember the Lord their God, and to give ear unto his counsel. Yea, how slow to walk in wisdom's path. Behold, they do not desire that the Lord their God, who has created them, should rule and reign over them, notwithstanding his great goodness and his mercy towards them. They do set at naught his counsel, and they will not that he should be their guide. Oh, how great is the nothingness of the children of men, yea, even they are less than the dust of the earth. For behold, the dust of the earth moveth hither and thither to the dividing asunder at the command of our great and everlasting God. And yet, why the elements of the earth do that which the Lord commanded, yet man will not always do that which the Lord would give to him to do. He speaks to them, they hear, but they will not obey. Man is a contrary creature at times, and hard-hearted. Another verse here I would read to you out of Alma in the 16th chapter. This is Alma speaking to the Zoramites, and he is reading to the people here out of the scriptures and telling them of those things. For it is not written that Zenos alone also spake of these things, that these things were the coming of the Son of God. But Zenoc also spake of these things, for behold, he said, thou art angry, O Lord, with this people, because they will not understand of thy mercies which thou hast bestowed upon them because of thy Son. And now, my brethren, you see that a second prophet of old hath testified of the Son of God. Because the people would not understand his words, they stoned him to death. But behold, this is not all. These are not the only ones who have spoken concerning the Son of God. Behold, he was spoken of by Moses. And behold, a type was raised up in the wilderness, that whosoever would look upon it might live. And many did look and live. How this is that emblem or serpent that I spoke of earlier, that Moses built and put before the people to look upon. If they would but look, they could be saved. But few understood the meaning of those things, and this because of the hardness of their hearts. But there are many who were so hardened that they would not look, therefore they perished. Now the reason they would not look was because they did not believe that it would heal them. And this is the way it is given, plain to a man, the way that he should go. But being man is carnal in nature, he kind of chases after the things of the world, the pleasures of the world, those things that are sensuous to him, and those that might hold him up in the light of his brethren around him, that might make him important in his eyes. This is pride. And this is something that we have to be on the lookout at all times, that we don't let this pride enter into our hearts so much that our hearts become hardened. The things that I cherish as being of great worth, such as the scriptures, many here do, but the people of the world do not give them the same value that I have. They give value to maybe the pleasures of fishing or hunting or some of these things, or the enjoyment of sitting down and maybe watching TV. But we all know that just by looking back in the years that have gone by, that the morality of the people has declined. And I attributed part of this to also the TV and the things that it has on it to entertain the people. Crime goes up. There's many programs of policemen and the cops and robbers, in a roundabout way of saying how those that are evil outsmart the good. Well, the younger people see these things and they think, well, they do it on TV, maybe I can do it. Well, the first steps are sometimes a little hard for some people to take. For some, they are not. And when they have done that which is not right and stole that which they shouldn't have and got away with it, it begins to make them bold. As Nephi says, Satan begins to encircle us round about with a flaxen cord. I'm sure that many of you know of a little sewing thread. Doesn't take much to break it. Doesn't hold. But if you was to double that thread, it becomes a little stronger. And that is the way with the power of Satan. He binds us a little at first, and we don't know. And soon he has us bound down with chains. We cannot break them. We are subject unto him. And that is the way that Satan conquers us. It's by little things. He knows what our weaknesses are. And he puts those temptations before us at all times. And if we do not walk carefully on that trail that we're on, we can turn to the left or right and we soon become bogged down in a swamp like. Becomes hard to go ahead anymore. This is Alma here speaking to some of the other people here on chapter 9 of Alma, page 344, beginning with verse 15. And now Alma began to expound these things unto him, saying, "It is given unto many to know the mysteries of God, Nevertheless, they are laid under a strict command that they shall not impart only according to the portion of his word, which he does grant unto the children of men, according to the heed and diligence which they give unto him. And therefore he will that he that will harden his heart, the same receiveth the lesser portion of the word. And he that will not harden his heart, to him is given the greater portion of the word, until it is given unto him to know the mysteries of God, until they know them in full. Now, this is quite a nice thing, if we will but obey that which the Lord would have us to do, and if we do earnestly make the effort to know what the Scripture's given, we will be given more of it. And as our hunger and thirst for the knowledge of Christ grows within us, then there is greater mysteries revealed unto us. But if we do not hunger and thirst after the knowledge of Christ, then our minds go the other direction. And that which we did understand is soon darkened and taken away from us. Now, in all ages past, the Lord has been merciful unto the people. He has sought after them to always do his will, but they would not. And sometimes I wonder how the Lord in his mercy and kindness put up with people trampling upon his covenants and that which he would have them to do. In Jeremiah, I'll read now. This is Jeremiah speaking unto the people. This is after Jerusalem has been destroyed. And the people are down in Egypt. And the Lord has commanded him to speak unto the people. Now here we have a prophet of God, and we see what the people think of Jeremiah. And this is something that we ourselves have to be careful about, for it's a dangerous situation that we allow ourselves to get in if we are not diligent in seeking that which is right. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pontus, and answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, to pour out drink offering unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our king and our princes in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of food, and there was well, and saw no evil. They were being kind of plain to Jeremiah. And they wasn't giving him any heed. They didn't count him as a prophet of the Lord. And I suppose we could be a little bit in the same boat. If a man off the street come in here and told the people to not do this, we might be careless and not pay any heed to what he has to say. As I said, this is a kind of a dangerous situation, that because of the hardness of their hearts, they would not hearken unto the voice of the Lord when he did speak to them. The nation of Israel had been carried away because of the ways that they had gone. Jerusalem had been destroyed, and the people carried many of them into Babylon. And because of their hardness of heart, they suffered many hardships that there was no need of them to have suffered. And yet we can just look from time to time down through the history, both with the Jaredites, the Nephites, the nation of Judah, and also Israel, of the things that they suffered. But we wonder sometimes why the Lord in his goodness suffered them to do the things that they done. They had one that among the nations of Israel, and also I suppose Judah engaged in also, and that was the sacrifice of their little children. Now this is, to me, it's a hard thing to see how the people could make their little children walk into the fire and be burnt to death. Quite a grievous thing to my mind to imagine the people doing that to something as innocent as a little child, and yet that's what they done. And the Lord spoke to them not to do this thing or to worship other gods, and yet it's like here they spoke to Jeremiah, "We're not going to hear you, what you have to say. We want to serve these other gods. We have lived well," and yet how well could they have lived if they had but obeyed the commandments of the Lord in the days that he led them out of Egypt? They didn't really, in a way, seem like they wanted to obey that. And over here in Ezekiel, I would read a little more. This here is concerning what the people, or the priests, the ministry, is doing in the temple there. And shows that the way that even the ministry can go. "And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in and behold the wicked abomination that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about." Now that wall that was there in the temple was completely overlaid with gold, and these ministers, supposedly of God, had gone in from time to time and begin to draw upon the walls those things which were forbidden for the house of Israel under the law of Moses to eat, touch, not to have anything to do with. Yet there they were in the temple of God. And this is what the people, the ministers, I should say, had done. And they were making the people a party to this because of their wickedness. "And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of the incenser went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imaginary, for they say, The Lord seeth us not. The Lord has forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, Turn yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord house, which was towards the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn you yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me unto the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs towards the temple of the Lord. and their face is towards the east, and they worship the sun towards the east. Now this is the thing that the ministers there had fallen into idolatry, a chasing after the gods of the heathen, and because they also had doing that which was wrong, the people themselves were doing that which was wrong. And so I would like to bring out here now this thought, that as I speak to you, beware of the words that I speak. Search the scriptures and see what they say for yourself. If you don't know, then the words that I speak can lead you astray. You don't know whether I'm speaking the words of God or not. In John, 5th chapter, 39th verse, I've quoted it before, says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." And we can see the results of searching the scriptures over here in Acts. I'll read what happened to a group of people that had searched the scriptures. Now, this is some of the brethren that had gone out to preach the gospel there. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogues of the Jews. These were more honorable than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and search the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Now this is what you as individuals got to do. All the words that the ministry might speak to you are for your benefit supposedly. But if that individual stands up here and speaks to you and tries to teach you things out of the scriptures in a slanted way that he thinks is right, and if you don't know what is written, then you can pick up those thoughts or beliefs which are not correct. There they had the 70 elders in the temple back there who were the judges of the people. Now this same 70 were the ones that had a council there at Jerusalem that Jesus come before, Stephen come before it, and they put these people to death because of it. And yet there they were, the leaders of the people. So we have to be careful what we accept. Though it be from the ministry, we still have to be careful of what they teach. And if we haven't studied the scriptures to know what is in them, then we can accept that which sounds pleasing to our ears, and in our imagination we can think it is correct and right, but in all truthfulness it is not correct to what Christ has given. We can look back over the ages and see that when the nation of Israel and also the Nephites had a righteous king, the people were, as a whole, a more righteous people. So when they had a wicked king, they soon put in their own ministers, which were not really the ministers of God. And they taught those things which were not pleasing in the sight of God. And the people began to hold to those things which was wrong. And if they don't repent somewhere along the line, then their souls is in a sorry state. We have the scriptures here before us. As I said before, we have to search them to know what is the scriptures. The Bible testifies of only one book that I know of, and that's the Book of Mormon. as being scriptures that would, which would come forth. The Book of Mormon testifies of only two other books as being the Word of God, and that is the Bible, and also some of the records that will yet come forth, as well as is the Book of Mormon. Now, if we use other scriptures to try and support our beliefs, then we are tripped and we fall. We can only look at the Protestant church of the world today. We can see the different ways that they go. And we can begin to understand why they have so many different beliefs among them. And that's because they don't have the Book of Mormon for a guidance unto them. It says here in the first Nephi, this here is in the third chapter of Nephi on page 37. This is Nephi in a vision here that he is relating. And it come to pass that the angel of the Lord spake unto me, saying, Behold, saith the Lamb of God, after I have visited the remnant of the house of Israel, and his remnant of whom I speak is the seed of thy father, wherefore, after I have visited them in judgment and smitten them by the hands of the Gentiles, and after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb which had been kept back by that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in my own power much of my gospel which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, that they shall write many things which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And after thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindled in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, and my rock and my salvation. Now, it doesn't say that the Bible is not correct. It just said because of the many things that this church had withheld, the people stumbled, not knowing exactly the correct way to go. And this is the reason that the Book of Mormon was brought forth. As he says, in him shall be written my gospel. And in the Book of Mormon is the fullness of the gospel for man. And yet, we find that among some of the different denominations of the Restoration, they begin to turn away from the scriptures. They bring in other things that they would substitute for the scriptures. And when they do this, they begin to fall into error. There's Protestant churches that have got their own Bible, their own interpretation of it. It doesn't quite read the same as the King James Version. And they use it, plus they also have a periodical monthly and perhaps even weekly papers that they get, which is written by the leaders of their church. And in it, they search quite carefully. And yet, when they search them things correctly, which is man has written, they take doctrines which is not of the Lord. Some of them are quite insidious in their ways. They look right, but they're not right. Nephi said that this book, which come over from the old country, the Bible, was plain and easy to understand in its beginning. And when it went from the Jews or unto the Gentiles, it was plain and easy to understand. And yet, it wasn't long after that, sometime or another, that things were deleted from it. For the heads of the people then at that time that was in power, which they wanted to change it for one reason or another, for their benefit. And here we have again the ministry and the leaders of the church doing these things. So we as individuals have a great responsibility placed upon us that we might know what is in the scriptures. Now, if we always listen to the ministry that speaks to us, we don't know for sure whether they have spoken that which is correct or not. Maybe in their own desires of their hearts, they have twisted some of the scriptures and pulled some of the things out of contents of what they should have. And because they do these things, the other people will follow after their teaching sometimes and lead them astray. As I said, that Satan has a flaxen cord that he first binds the people with. If we're not careful, that flaxen cord will become into a chain eventually, and then we are sealed to him. And yet, in our innocence, we followed after these things because we didn't search the scriptures as we should have. They're here for our learning. And if there is any thing that I want to say that we don't understand in the Bible, if we will but search the Book of Mormon, we'll find what the gospel is. There is things that can be a stumbling to the people sometimes because they've taken maybe other scriptures to the Word of God and they trust in the arm of flesh. This is something that we should be careful that we do not do is trust in the arm of flesh, because we might have our sons or our daughters or whoever they be in good standing in the church or something. We should still search and watch. These other people cannot make salvation for you. It will be you yourself that will make the salvation, and it's only because you have searched the scriptures diligently to know what is in them. In the early church, there arose disputations among the brethren from time to time. Apostle Paul, even where he was at, done that which wasn't always quite as he should have, and that was because he was human. He got in an argument with Barnabas there, that they was four of them wanting to know who to take, and he didn't think he should take Mark. And they got quite unhappy with one another. Well, these things can happen to the best of us, and we have to guard against them. Paul got after Peter because Peter, when he was among the Jews, was doing as the Jews were. And so Paul withstood him and corrected him on this. And so this thing is easy for us to do. When we're among other brethren of the world, sometimes because of the persuasion or the power that the group will have around, if we don't watch it, we can be swayed by them to do that which is wrong. And this is something that we should be very careful not to do. It's a hard thing to stand alone, but it is where you're going to have to stand many times as alone, because you'll not have the strength of your brethren around you to help you. You're going to have to be quick to call upon the Lord for help and guidance. And if we harden our hearts and do not call upon the Lord, then he will be like he was with the children of Israel. When hard times come upon them, they begin to cry unto the Lord for help and deliverance and guidance. And the Lord said he was slow to hear what they had to say unto him, because they had been doing those things which was not correct. This thing can happen to us if we're slow to call upon the Lord from day to day for guidance and help. Then when we do need him, well, he may not be there to help us, because we have not taken him as our sole guide as we should. So this is something that we as individuals have got to look out for, and to know what is the scripture and what isn't. And as I said, the only scriptures that we as the Church of Christ that I know have is none other than the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And to them we should look for a guide for our welfare of our souls.